Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Vishwamitra, the son of Maharaj Gadi, was as powerful as the flames of fire. From the position of a Kshatriya, he achieved the position of a powerful Brahmana by undergoing penances and austerities. Purport. Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Now, having narrated the history of Lord Parshuram, Sukadev Goswami begins the history of Vishwamitra. From the history of Parshuram, we can understand that although Parshuram belonged to the Brahmanical group, he circumstantially had to work as a Kshatriya. Later, after finishing his work as a Kshatriya, he again became a Brahmana and returned to Mahendra Parvat. Similarly, we can see that although Vishwamitra was born in a Kshatriya family, by austerities and penances he achieved the position of a Brahmana. These histories confirm the statement in Shastra that a Brahmana may become a Kshatriya, and a Kshatriya may become a Brahmana or a Vaishya, and a Vaishya may become a Brahmana by achieving the required qualities. One's status does not depend upon birth. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35 by Narada, if one shows the symptom of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. To know who is Brahmana and who is Kshatriya, one must consider a man's quality and work. If all the unqualified Shudras become so-called Brahmanas, and Kshatriya's social order will be impossible to maintain. Thus, there will be discrepancy. Human society will turn into a society of animals, and the situation all over the world will be hellish. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Goratvishay Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 16, where we are discussing about Parshuram. And we have reached a situation where Parshuram as explained by Sukadeva Goswami, that he is still living after performing his services of annihilating the various Kshatriyas. He is still living in the, after being calm, after achieving his services, he is still living in the Mahendra Parvat, worshipped by various beings of the higher planets. And then he goes on to discuss in this particular verse, Sukadeva Goswami, about Vishwamitra. The important point that has been driven here and the reason why we find this fact and this particular narrations in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Amala Puranam, which is the Paramhansa Samhita, which is the scripture which is relished by Paramhansas, and the only purpose of the scripture is to help devotees achieve the highest Prema Pumartha Mahan, that is the highest love of God. So everything that is there in the scripture is specifically directed and oriented to help devotees, sadhakas, to achieve love of God. And one of the important aspects of achieving love of God is to get rid of the unwanted thoughts and desires that we have in our hearts, anartha nivritti, to get rid of these anarthas. So one of the major problems in our understanding, which is keeping us away from coming closer to Krishna, is to be in the bodily concept of life. That's a basic understanding. We all know that is a basic problem that we have, because of which we don't make progress in Krishna consciousness. To identify with the body, to see others in the bodily concept of life. And that's why it is explained that if we want to identify a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or a Shudra, if you try to identify them externally, that is a wrong understanding. It is not by Janma, it is not by birth that one becomes a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. It is by his activities that one becomes a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Because as the word explains here, that circumstantially, Parshuram had to become a Kshatriya. He was born a Brahmana, but because of circumstances, he became a Kshatriya, because he saw there was a rampant misuse of power that the Kshatriya were given. And this was rampantly misused, so he had to really, the only way he could really tackle the situation was rampantly killing them. Right? So this was a important point. And then Vishwamitra is mentioned for the same purpose, that Vishwamitra was actually a Kshatriya. He was a king, but he became a Brahmana. And for all of us, Vishwamitra gives us a very, very important lesson of our life. We all know Vishwamitra, as the story goes, that he was a king, he was traveling, and he came to this hermitage of Vaishishtha, an ordinary Brahmana, apparently looking. And, you know, Vishwamitra was traveling with large numbers of people, thousands of them. And Vaishishtha said, please, all of you come to my hermitage, I will take full care of you. I'll provide you whatever you need. And Vishwamitra was laughing. I said, how can you provide? You are an ordinary, you don't even have anything. You don't even have a proper house to stay. What can you provide us? I said, no, don't worry. I will take complete care of you. Please be comfortable. And they all sat down. I said, now I'm going to provide you the best of prasad, best of food, for you to be refreshed after your journey. And then he made everybody sit, and everybody was wondering, what is he going to do? We don't see any large pots. You know, many times when we have large prasadam feast, and obviously we peep into the pots and say, oh, there are large pots, there's enough prasad for all of us, nothing to worry. And you see the items, and you're satisfied that yes, this is all provided for. But they didn't see any of these things. I said, how is this man going to really provide us for the feast that he's talking about? And then he called his great worshipable cow, Sabala, sometimes they call it Subala. Vishwamitra Vaishishtha invoked the presence of Subala and just prayed that, please Subala, please provide whatever we need for our sustenance. And Subala just provided spontaneously pots and stacks of food which was satisfying everybody and more. The best of cushions to stay, the best of fans were provided, people were fanning the king. Everything was provided by this cow. And Vishwamitra, he said that, oh my God, what's this? How is it that he has something which I don't have? This is human tendency. When we see somebody having better than us, then rather than appreciating that person having that quality and seeing the manifestation of Krishna's opulence in that person, we become envious of that person. And as part of envy, we want to have what he has. Because why should he enjoy? I want to enjoy also. So Vishwamitra, rather than being happy that such a wonderful Brahmana exists, that he is having, everything has been provided for by this cow, he became envious of him. And he said, I want this cow. I am the king should have the best. Give me the cow. Vaishishtha said, well, this cow provides for everything that I need for performing yagya. All the ghee and everything. I can't just go out. I'm performing yagya and this cow provides me. I need her for my, not for my own personal sense gratification, but I'm using this to perform yagya. So I can't give the cow. Besides, the cow would not want to come with you. She's happy here. So Vishwamitra said, no, the cow must come with me. And he started pulling the cow, dragging the cow away. And the cow was crying helplessly. I said, please protect me. She told Vaishishtha, you are my provider, please protect me. Vaishishtha said that I can't protect you. I'm a Brahmana. I can't protect you. You know, I don't have weapons to protect you. If you want to be protected, you protect yourself. After having got the permission from a master, Subala said, oh really, master? Should I protect myself? I said, yes, I can protect you. You protect yourself. Then on the spot, Subala made a large sound the way a cow makes, but much louder. And after the sound, the unlimited army is coming out from her body. Unlimited, powerful soldiers coming. And they started fighting with the soldiers of King Vishwamitra. Very powerful fight. And in a matter of time, for a short time, all the soldiers of Vishwamitra were killed except for Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra was dumbfounded, dumbstruck. What's happening? What is this cow all about? And then he realized that the power of a Kshatriya is much lesser than the power of a Brahmana. So I want to be a Brahmana. This is again a problem. That we do not, as I said earlier, we do not appreciate the good qualities in others, but we want to be that person. And naturally, if we want to be that person, we start competing with that person to assume his position. Because there can be only one person at the top. Right? There can't be two people. There can't be two firsts. Of course, the spiritual world, it is a different situation. There can be millions of firsts. But the material world, there can be only one first. If you are a book distributor, you can be only one top book distributor, or a temple which is only one temple. There cannot be two temples. So Vishwamitra said, I want to be a Brahmana. He started performing intense tapasya. That to hell with this Kshatriya dharma, it is useless. Because it doesn't give me that satisfaction that I have the best. And I want the best. So he performed intense tapasya. I said, this is, how do I become a Brahma Rishi? By performing tapasya. So he engaged in intense tapasya. Years and years and years of abstaining his body for any sense gratification. In the summers he was doing tapasya with surrounded with huge forest fires. In the winters he was surrounded with, he was deep immersed in cold, ice cold waters to perform tapasya. And we all know when somebody does intense tapasya, there's one person who gets disturbed. Any guesses? Indra. No offenses to him, it's a worshipable personality. He's teaching us many things by his personality. But he gets very disturbed because he thinks that this gentleman wants what I have. Again, tendency of the human mind. If you see somebody doing something very good, I say, why is he working so hard? Does he want to be the what I have? Natural tendency. Not natural, artificial, but natural because we are conditioned souls. So he said he is doing this because he wants to be Indra. Because by tapasya you can become Indra. So Indra sent a beautiful lady. Indra knows exactly what to do in what situation. So this gentleman was performing Vishwamitra intense tapasya. So this ankle bell, just simple ankle bells. You know, here he was, you know, he was a Kshatriya, powerful person, but just the ankle bells of a lady. It's very, very powerful if you're having any desires to enjoy just the sound. And most of us will not get disturbed by this sound, right? Hopefully not. But Vishwamitra did. Because he was abstaining his senses, but he did have the higher taste. So that's important. We are not, Krishna consciousness is not about negation. It's about negation and filling that position with a higher taste. Vishwamitra didn't have that. So he got disturbed by that ankle bells. He fell into Menaka. And he said, oh my God, I worked so hard. Now it is all finished. I said, again, because his desire to be a Brahma Rishi was so intense, he said, I will again perform tapasya. He again performed tapasya. I said, now whoever comes, I will make sure that I don't get disturbed. He was determined. He said, I fell once and I will not get disturbed. But Maya, you know, she has various options. It's not that there is one option to disturb a living entity. There are many options that she has. And she tries that options. So here in the first situation, Vishwamitra succumbed to lust. And he was very careful this time not to succumb to lust. And he was doing tapasya. And then suddenly Indra, after some time, sent another lady. And said, I will not get succumbed to this. And he opened his eyes and became very angry. And succumbed to anger. Kama, krodha, lobha. There are three gates to hell. Whether you go in this gate or that gate, all three gates lead to hell. So whether you are succumb to lust, whether you succumb to anger, or succumb to greed, they all lead to hell. So Vishwamitra, you know, again succumbed to his lower desires. He couldn't really give. First was lust, then was anger. Then he said, Lord Brahma, please give me the empowerment. I want to please you. And I want to be a powerful Brahma Rishi. And he again performed intense tapasya. And Brahma Rishi said, I mean, Lord Brahma came after years. He said, I bless you. You are now a Rishi. Stop your tapasya. And Lord Brahma was not giving this after of his happiness. He said, this man is just so adamant, so intensely adamant. You are a Brahma. And he said, but I won't be happy if you tell me that I'm a Brahma Rishi. Vaishishta has to come here and tell me that I'm a Brahma Rishi. Then I'll be happy. Just imagine this. Just imagine the egocentricness of somebody. I said, because I was disturbed by him, if he comes and he says that you are now a Brahma Rishi, I'll be happy. So Vaishishta was completely, he was not really bothered about who becomes powerful than him. Or so he came and said, yeah, Vishwamitra, you are one of the most powerful Brahma Rishis. And then he was happy. So what we learn from this particular personality of Vishwamitra, of course, he went on to become the guru of Sri Ramchandra. And there's a different story of why he got that. And he was actually the main person to get Ram and Sita together, to get them married in Mithila. Very special service Vishwamitra did. But what we learn from this gentleman, Vishwamitra, is the important aspect of not getting disturbed in provoking situations as far as a sadhaka is concerned. So this aspect, because he was provoked, and that's what a sadhaka is constantly having a problem, that he's constantly being faced with various stimulus, and the stimulus disturbs him or provokes him. Prabhupada says, the greatness of a person can be estimated. This is in the Krishna book, chapter 85. The greatness of the person has to be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. Very, very deep statement Prabhupada makes. A person is not great because he has a lot of money. He is not great because he has a lot of disciples. He has a lot of large knowledge. He is not great because of all these things. But the greatness of a person can be estimated of how the ability that he or she has in tolerating provoking situations. What is the difference between a candle and a sun? They both are sources of light. They both give light. But a little wind blowing, the candle just blows off. But you keep on, you have a, I mean, you, all of us put together, you blow the sun.
Will even sun move even a millimeter? The sun is fixed. Similarly, what's the difference between a pond and an ocean? A little, you know, flow of water in the pond, the whole pond gets disturbed. But the ocean, there could be huge quantities of water just going, but the ocean remains completely calm. So there are two things that we have in a spiritual life. One is to go deep and one is to go wide. The width of our Krishna consciousness is seen by our activities. That how, you know, what activities we do. And that's, you know, oh, I preached to 10 people today. Oh, I distributed X number of books. Or now we have so many sanghas going on. Or now we have this many temples. So it's the width, and which is also important. We need to grow. We need to grow in quantity. No doubt. I mean, we need to grow in quantity. But if we just simply grow in the wideness, and we don't grow deep, then any amount of provoking situations can simply topple our spiritual life. It's like a plant which is growing wide, but it's not growing deep. Any amount of wind will just uproot the tree, uproot the plant. So the width or the wideness of our spiritual life is seen by our activities, and the depth of our spiritual life is seen by our consciousness. What is our consciousness at a time when we are provoked? Because we can be in very good consciousness externally when we are not provoked, and everything is very nice and good, and then we are happy devotees. But that's comparatively easy. But what happens when we are provoked? How do we behave when we are provoked is the sign of whatever consciousness. So activity determines our wideness of Krishna consciousness, and consciousness determines our depth of Krishna consciousness. And many a times, at least I've seen in my own life, that we become very activity conscious. We become very activity oriented, not realizing what should be my consciousness in when I do this activity. Srila Prabhupada called our society the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He didn't say it is the International Society for Krishna Activities. It is not an activity-based society, it is a consciousness-based society that Prabhupada created. So consciousness plays a very important role, because activity can be performed by machines. I mean, honestly, and if you just program a machine, the machine will do a much better job than human beings if it is just talking about activity. It doesn't get tired. It can do much better job. But what is the substance in a machine? It's just nuts and bolts. There's no substance. There's no consciousness. But when we're talking about consciousness, the depth, that is very, very important in a sadhaka. That's what a devotee needs to develop. So we talk about the stories of Parikshit Maharaj, stories of Amrish Maharaj, Haridas Thakur. When they were provoked, Parikshit Maharaj was provoked. He was cursed to die in 7 days for not much of his fault. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 21 marketplaces. Srila Prabhupada was having difficulties to just go to America. He had to really sit on the steps of Sumati Murarji to please give me a ticket, her ticket. And she, out of her concern, said, "No, Swamiji, I can't give you the ticket. You will die." Right? In all these situations, how Jesus Christ, he was crucified. In all the situations, there was a provoking situation. But how did these great souls react to that provoking situation? Very exemplary. And the way they reacted gave rise to important scriptures. The way Parikshit Maharaj reacted to his provoking situation gave rise to Srimad Bhagavatam. It was because of his exemplary way of reacting to a provoking situation that he was cursed. Because he reacted in a very exemplary way, that actually became the foundational reason for the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ramayan, what is Ramayan all about? Ram was provoked. I mean, here you are, you know, you are about to be, you know, crowned the prince. And you're all geared up for doing that, for being the prince. And then he gets cursed. We are cursed to go for 14 years in the forest. How did Ram react? I said, well, if that is what my father wants, I'll go to the forest. And the exemplary, the example of Ram became the center point of Ramayana. That is how Ramayana is created. Christianity rose, became one of the top religions of the world, just by the fact on how Jesus Christ reacted to the provoking situation. Oh Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he was crucified. When great souls react in an exemplary way, it gives tremendous amount of legacy, tremendous amount of learning that they leave behind. So it is explained, Prabhupada said, do not blame the instruments of your own karma. Very brilliant statement. And when we are provoked, when we are angry, I say, why are you making me angry? Prabhupada said, it's not that that person is making you angry. He's simply an instrument of your own karma that is coming back to you. What a deep, wonderful way of reacting to provoking situations. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. So the important thing is that how do we react to provoking situations? And the way we can react is by intense Krishna consciousness. Because if you see, between every stimulus or between every reason why you are provoked and your reaction, you have some time. And it is in that time that you can decide which lies your advancement in Krishna consciousness. How you use that time to decide how you want to react. It's a very short time, right? Somebody just stamps on your feet. And you want to react. And one way to react is, why the hell you can't see? Are you blind? And that's how you react, right? Another way to react is, oh, okay, no problem. But between the stimulus and the way you react, we have a very short time to decide when to react. And that short time, how you react will depend upon your Krishna consciousness. How well you have performed your sadhana. How well you have performed your Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. That is what makes a person great. Parikshit Maharaj, it's not that he was cursed and he said, oh, let me think about what to do now that I'm cursed. He immediately accepted it. The next moment, he accepted it. Yes, this is the mercy of the Lord. I will just give up my kingdom and sit and hear from Sukadev Goswami. It's not that he had to really think, oh, how do I react to this? Should I really counteract? He's not that he had to come and consult his ministers. What do I do in this situation? He had that clear vision, clear understanding, viveka buddhi, discriminated intelligence on how to react in a particular situation. Why? Because he was deeply Krishna conscious. So the one of the ways on how we can react to a stimulus and our reaction is to have deep Krishna consciousness, which will help us to understand how best to react. Another aspect is when we are provoked, many times we just get into this whole problem that he is wrong and I am right. Right? How many times we feel that, you know, I have, you know, he is mistreating me. And yes, you may need to do on a particular level, you might have to sort out your differences to really see that you are not constantly getting mistreated or something, and you have to prove that you are right and maybe he's wrong. But on a higher level of Vaishnav culture, suppose some devotee is wrong and you are right, and you have a whole battle fought, not literal battle, but you just orient everybody to fight a battle to prove that I was right and he was wrong, and it is proven that fine, he is wrong and you are right. What have you achieved? You have won the battle but lost the war. Because Vaishnavism, my dear friends, is not about somebody being right or wrong. Vaishnavism is much beyond just being right or wrong. Vaishnavism is all about working in cooperation. You have achieved the satisfaction of proving that you were right and that gentleman was wrong or this particular person was wrong. But what have you really achieved from there? Not really achieved. You are not really pleased Prabhupada. But Prabhupada didn't say that you can please me by showing that you are right and other person is wrong. By proving that you are right. Because that's what happens. What is cooperation? When do you need to cooperate? When both of us think alike. I mean, there is no cooperation because you are anyway thinking alike. What is the question? There is no question of cooperation. But the question of cooperation comes when there is a misunderstanding. Right? It doesn't come when everybody is agreeable to a particular point. I say, you say this, I will say this. Oh, let's cooperate. That's not cooperation. That's anyway you're going to do that because you are convinced about that. But the question of cooperation comes when there's a disagreement. And then how you do things. And you feel that, no, this is wrong. This is the way I should do it. And this is the way I feel we should do it. But ultimately for the higher purpose of cooperation, okay, let's do it this way. Even though I don't understand it, but let's do it this way because the ultimate purpose is to cooperate. So that's the important point. And that again comes by our depth of Krishna consciousness. It doesn't come by just our activities. And the most important is that the way we can really discern, we can understand how to really tolerate provoking situations is by having intense, regular association with the Vaishnavas of the Lord, the devotees. Because they are the people who teach us. The moment we isolate ourselves from Sangam of devotees, we become vulnerable to Maya. Today is also a very auspicious day and we will learn a similar stories, similar lesson from this personality. We have the appearance day of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Very special day, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat. And for the next few minutes, we would like to learn and like to appreciate the glorious qualities of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu decided that we want to really spread the Sankirtan movement by the loud chanting of the holy names. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu announced one day, then why are you devotees sleeping in the night? Why are you wasting your time sleeping? Let us all sing kirtan and dance even in the night. Why should we waste our nights in sleeping? Let us all assemble at the house of Srivas Thakur and perform nocturnal kirtans. So for one full year, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and all the devotees of Navadvip were assembled at the house of Srivas performing Harinam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. The one standard problem that we all devotees, many of us face is that when we are happily enjoying Sankirtan, the non-devotees are always very, very disturbed by the loud kirtan. I say, oh, what is this guy is doing loud kirtan? And the people, the Navadvip Vasis, they say, we know exactly what they do in the house of Shivas. They get these young, beautiful girls and they do all the tantra and mantra over them. And they enjoy them and they are addicted and they drink very, very strong beverages, alcoholic beverages. And they intoxicate them and then they are shouting their lungs out. That's what they do. Because the karmis, the materialists were disturbed by the kirtans. And they said, these people are loudly chanting in the night. Lord Vishnu is sleeping. And they will wake him up, and when he wakes up, because of the loud chanting that they do, he'll become very angry with us and he'll curse and we'll lose all our sense gratification, but he'll curse us. The materialists were so disturbed because night is a time where they want to enjoy sense gratification, but they couldn't do that because there was so much of Krishna consciousness around. And they said, the last thing they said, these people have to be stopped. Because this loud kirtan, there is this Muslim king who is ruling this province of Bengal. And he's going to be very angry that these people are chanting loud kirtan. And he's sending large amounts of soldiers that are coming by boats over the Ganges. And they're going to destroy the house of Shiva's. And not only is his house, but they're going to destroy all our houses out of anger. So we have to stop these people doing kirtan. And Shiva's heard all this news, disturbing news, that people were scared, the devotees were given warning. Don't do kirtan in the night by the materialists. Stop doing kirtan, because it was disturbing them. And Shivas was wondering, is it right to do kirtan? It is so much of a risk that devotees are getting beaten up. Is it good to do this kirtan in the night? And knowing the thoughts of Shivas Thakur, one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the temple of Shivas. Shivas was doing aarti, and he was praying to Lord Narsingadev for the protection of the devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, Shivas, I announce it very loudly, that tell this Muslim king to get the elephants and the lions and the tigers and all the animals from the forest and assemble them here. And then I will chant very loudly Hare Krishna. And I'll make the animals chant Hare Krishna. And they will chant Hare Krishna. Because I have the power. I'm the original Lord Vishnu here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never in that mood. But he showed his mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I said, then I will ask these mullahs and the Muslim kings to chant Hare Krishna. I'll empower them. And then they will chant Hare Krishna. And Shivas was a little wondering, why is the Lord talking so intensely? And then he saw there was some amount of doubt that Shivas Thakur had. That what is this Lord saying? And they said, Shivas, do you have a doubt that I can't do this? There was a small girl. She was a niece of Shivas Thakur. Her name was Narayani. She was just 4 years old. You just see what I do to Narayani. And the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just told Narayani, please chant Hare Krishna. And he just touched her. And Narayani instantaneously, can you imagine a 4 years old girl? She was showing all signs of ecstasy. The tears just coming from her eyes, her head was standing on end. She jumped and danced. And she was chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And Narayani was dancing and chanting intensely. See, I can make this 4 years old girl chant in ecstasy. So this was a constant activity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would constantly show special mercy to Narayani, who was a niece of Shivas Thakur. As the time went by, Narayani at a young age got married, and she was staying at a place called Mamagachi, which we, many of us visit in our Navadvip Parikrama Yatra. And she was pregnant, and everybody was thinking that what a child must be in her womb. She has received such amazing mercy from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now this is the power of the mercy of sadhus. And this is the power of the child in the womb getting the mercy of the sadhus. The child was, he must be special. But there was an unfortunate thing that happened. Her husband died when she was pregnant. So she was a widow. But she later on gave birth to a beautiful child whose name was Vrindavan, Vrindavan Das. And because she had no means of livelihood, the husband was not around, she took a job. She was working at the house of Vasudev Datta, the famous devotee, was none other than Prahlad Maharaj. She was doing some household chores at his place, and Vasudev Datta was such a compassionate Vaishnava that one point he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for benediction. I said, oh my dear Lord, I see people are suffering because of their intense desire for sense gratification. I request that all the desires of sense gratification should be removed. All their bad qualities should be removed. Let all these bad qualities come to me. But they should become pure devotees and they should go back to Godhead. That was the compassion of Vasudev Datta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so amazed to see the compassion, which was similar to the compassion of Prahlad Maharaj. And he said that, Vasudev Datta, I give you a benediction. Said, you don't have to suffer from any sinful reaction of everybody else. I deliver all of them just by your prayers. That was the power of Vasudev Datta. The same Vasudev Datta was training Vrindavan Das from their young age. He gave all the mercy, all the training, and he spoke about the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan Das Thakur was born when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he left and was staying at Jagannath Puri. And right from his childhood, he had an intense desire to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I've heard about him, but one day I will see this magnanimous personality. Ajanu lambita bhujo kana kathavato sankirtana kapitaro kamalaya taksho vishwam bharo dvijabharo yuga dharma palo vande jagat priya karo karuna utaro. These are the first words of Chaitanya Bhagavat which he wrote. He said, I want to see that personality, Ajanu lambita bhujo, whose hands are long, which goes beyond his knees. And as the description in the verses, the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want to see that personality. So as he was becoming young man, he said, I will go to Jagannath Puri to have the mercy, to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But as he was preparing to leave, to go to Jagannath Puri, he heard the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has departed. He has merged into the deity of Tota Gopinath and he is no more. And he was completely despondent. He was saying, what is the use of my life? I can't even see Lord Chaitanya, he's gone. But then, he was just intensely waiting for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which came in the form of Nityananda Prabhu coming to Mamagachi. Nityananda Prabhu specifically came to Mamagachi to meet Vasudev Datta and Vrindavan Das Thakur. And Nityananda Prabhu, who was the spiritual master of all the devotees at that time, he instructed Vrindavan Das Thakur. We all know that whatever we know from about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, because he instructed these two personalities, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur, to write biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he instructed Vrindavan Das, you please write whatever you have heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that it can become a wonderful legacy for all the devotees in the future to read about and get inspired. Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote a beautiful scripture on the instruction of Nityananda Prabhu. And the scripture was called Chaitanya Mangal. And Chaitanya Mangal was famous, and then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he mentions very clearly that everything has been written in Chaitanya Mangal. But I'm simply adding some few details which are not mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj, or by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And then he says that Vrindavan Das Thakur is non-different than Vedavyas of the spiritual world. And he has written this Chaitanya Mangal. So the name was changed from Chaitanya Mangal to Chaitanya Bhagavat, because Vedavyas wrote Srimad Bhagavat, which was the stories about Krishna. And here was the scripture which was talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this scripture was called Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Vrindavan Das Thakur was a very, very empowered personality, a very, very close associate of Nityananda Prabhu, very, very close associate of Janva Devi, who was the wife of Nityananda Prabhu. And he's written this beautiful scripture, Chaitanya Bhagavat. And one of the most glorious stories in Chaitanya Bhagavat is the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas in a very detailed way is written. So that can be a wonderful offering to Vrindavan Das Thakur today. If we get time, we should read this beautiful pastime, which is beautifully mentioned by Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Chaitanya Bhagavat. So this is a wonderful occasion to get his mercy on his appearance day. I thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments?